Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Welcome to the show. We have stuff to give away. I'm not going to lie. Today's show is going to be a great show, but stuff to give away. And you just suggested, rightfully so, we should just do it.
Starting out with a big bang.
Yeah.
So who wants to go see Yes besides me and my family? We have a pair of tickets to hear the hits of the 70s. You could also look up on stage and see
the
hits.
They will allow you to watch them as they perform, yeah.
Steve Howe in the band, Yes, live in concert, Friday, June 8th at Silver Creek Event Center at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, Michigan. Make a weekend of it. I mean, we're not going to set you up with any overnight stay, but
no.
We have a pair of tickets if you'd like to go see Yes live in action. You can get your own tickets at Ticketmaster.com, Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape, or you can call right now. Look at phones are
people
crazy.
People want to go see Yes.
312-981-7200.
Mm-hmm.
What number?
Caller 8. It takes place June the 8th. Caller 8. 312-981-7200. You're going to see Yes.
But the only, you have something you have to say as soon as Jasmine answers the phone. You have to say yes.
Oh, all right.
So
just to make sure that they're true fans?
Yes.
That's a good litmus test. No one could fake their way through this one. All right, good.
And remember, we learned if you're wearing a Yes shirt, you have to be a Yes fan.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Because you can't be a poser.
Yeah.
Wow, look at how quickly this happened. Hey, Cheryl.
Hi.
You have a magic word to say.
Oh, crap. I don't know what the magic word is.
Oh, crap will work.
That's close enough?
What band are you going to be seeing?
Yes.
That's the magic word.
Oh, yes.
Don't overdo it.
Okay.
All right, Cheryl, we got a pair of tickets. It's all happening on June 8th. It's a Friday night. Silver Creek Event Center at Four Winds Casino, New Buffalo, Michigan. What's your favorite Yes tune?
Roundabout.
That's a great one. Boy, they harmonize miraculously. All right, Cheryl, where are you calling from?
I'm in the city right now, but I live in Elgin.
Well, good for you.
Call us when you get there.
All right, hang on the line, we'll set you up. Yes tickets, go see some Yes songs live in action. If you didn't win tickets, go ahead and get them at Ticketmaster.com, Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape.
I believe that counts as our good deed for the day.
It felt good.
The rest of it's easy now.
We also have White Sox tickets to give away later on today.
All right.
We're filled with things.
So generous. So incredibly generous. Would you explain this to me? This happened to me yesterday, and I don't understand it. I went to purchase gas. And I go in, and a guy who is not working there, but is just he's next to the counter guy.
Just hanging out?
Yeah, he's just talking to the counter guy, and he sees me, and here's what he says. Now, this is a two-parter, because it starts out weird and then gets weirder, so prepare yourself for this. He goes, "Hey, Marco Polo, buying some gas to me?" So I said, "Yeah, I was thinking about buying some gas," and then I did. And then, waited for my change. And then on the way out, he goes, "Have a good day, Marco Polo." And I go, "All right," like that. And then the more I thought about it, the more I wondered what it was about me that made him want to refer to me as Marco Polo.
Did you have a blindfold on?
No. On the way home, I kept thinking, if I was wearing a polo shirt, which I was earlier in the day, that would have almost made sense.
Yeah.
Or if I was dressed as like one of those guys who travels the world. Yeah, an explorer.
Did you have a Speedo on? Like
I
you
did
were
have
going
a
in the pool.
I did have a Speedo on.
That could have been it.
Do you think that had something to do with it?
It's funny you guys go right to the pool game.
He's best known for inventing the game Marco Polo.
Marco Polo.
A little later on yesterday, I thought to myself, maybe he refers to everybody as Marco Polo.
No one does that.
I don't think so either.
It's like, "Hey, Daddy-O," I could see people using that, but Marco Polo isn't one of those colloquialisms.
I actually call people Amerigo Vespucci.
Now, that makes sense. That makes sense. You know how if somebody's doing something, though, like if you're driving too fast, Terry will say, "Hey, slow down, Mario," meaning Mario Andretti.
Right.
You know, there's certain things that if you're doing, you could call them the name of somebody famous to make your point. But I wasn't doing anything Marco Polo-like. I was buying gas, which, to my knowledge, he never did ever once.
Did you have sunglasses on?
Yes.
Were they really dark? That's the only thing I can think
of.
See,
my sunglasses, they don't make me look like Marco Polo.
I've solved it.
It was Marco Polo.
I've solved it.
What is it?
You look like a cute pool boy.
I don't want to argue with that. I want to believe that that's true. But he said it with such conviction, you know? And the other guy didn't even give me a look. Like, don't get excited. He does this to everybody. He thinks everybody's Marco Polo.
That's so bizarre.
I know. Twice. Like, once is weird, but on the second time, it almost made me want to go back there and go, just out of curiosity, what is it about me that puts you in a Marco Polo frame of mind? I'm just curious.
Marco Polo frame of mind.
Yeah, that's my favorite Billy Joel song.
Oh, I thought it was Christopher Cross.
Was it Chris Cross? It might have been Christopher Cross.
Yeah, I think Bertrand's right.
New York State of Mind is Billy Joel.
Oh, yeah. What's the other state of mind?
I'll tell you when I get there.
All right. Well, we talked about this on the stream, so Steve and Mary are unaware of this. But as you know, Bill gets $20
every day.
That's his allowance.
Not Saturday or Sunday. That's the weekend. But Monday through Friday.
That's not fair. But he has to use that $20 to buy gas, lunch, incidentals.
I can use it for whatever I please. So, I'm like Marco Polo in that respect. You know how his wife, Bev Polo, would always give him $20 a day? Go out there, explore. Here's your $20.
But here's the weird thing that I'm going to ask you, because Judy Pilak and I were wowed by this. When you guys, Mary and Steve, fill up your gas tank, don't you go fill it up, like fill up the tank? I do that. When it's low, I go fill up the whole tank.
It'll take.
You fill it up.
Yeah. Bill.
I've never filled my gas tank up once in my whole life.
He uses a portion of his $20. How many times do you have to fill up a week?
Nearly every day.
Why do you do that?
That's not true.
Yeah,
it is true.
You stop at the gas station almost every day.
It's just because you want to see Marco Polo.
It's because I want somebody to think I'm Marco Polo.
So I don't understand the inconvenience. It's like you just. Plus, I go to the Jewel, and you can save 20 cents a gallon if you go to a Shell thing.
Oh,
so
that's a good deal.
Why wouldn't I fill up and save 20 cents a gallon?
True.
You don't use a credit card to pay for your
no.
Well, that's good because I got scammed at a gas station.
Well, I did
too. So that's why I don't like to go very often.
I did not.
I don't go to that gas station.
I had my card. My card swiped, right?
Yep, me too.
I always check. I don't even know what I'm looking for. You know how they have a thing that goes over the slot,
like a plate.
You'll know it when you see it.
Well, I think I will. I always kind of jiggle it, and if something's loose, then I don't. I'd probably just go, well, I better check my statements. I would still fill up.
Right.
But
right.
He never, have you ever filled up a tank?
Never once in my life,
I cannot understand that.
That's, I'm going to say that's quirky, Bill.
Are you afraid of overflow, gas overflow?
No.
He only gets $20 a day.
I get $20 a day, and it takes about 40 to fill up my gas tank.
So you have extra. You don't blow through $20 every single day.
Almost.
What do you get?
Why don't you take cash back?
Well, if you get gasoline and then something for lunch, your 20's gone. You know, I don't have any.
If it takes $40 to fill up your tank, a tank should last you pretty close to a week. It wouldn't be.
No, a tank would last me, close. Let's say three or four days.
So I was thinking of you indirectly, Bill, this week because I filled up. Well, I did it today.
Yeah.
And was thinking back in the day when you used to have to sort of squeeze it till you got it to an even amount.
Right.
No one does that now because they usually use a debit or credit card. But you still must. Like, eke it out, 98, 99, 10.
Well, I give him my $10 or $15, and then it just...
Can I get change, sir? Just put it in my hand. I trust you.
Absolutely, young Marco Polo. Here's your change.
And gas is way up right now.
Oh yeah.
You need,
it's over
you need
$3
a raise.
A gallon. I should get a raise, don't you think?
Yes, definitely.
Terry should pay for your gas.
Well, yeah. I mean, she does indirectly.
Well, I know it's all pulled together.
Right.
But still, I mean, she should...
You need your own bank account.
Oh, no.
We've gone through this.
That's a problem.
Oh, that's
I have a problem?
I have my
own bank account,
me too.
And so does Jim.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, we all, you know, I say, hey, give me some money for the mortgage, and we just transfer it. But it's nice to have, you know, your separate things.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. I'll run that by Mrs. Polo this evening and see what she says.
Start packing your own lunch.
I think it's Minerva.
Minerva Polo.
Minerva Polo.
All right, some advice from Casey, who's on the line. Hi, Casey.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. If Bill gets $20 a day, that's still $100 a week.
Yes.
Take the whole $100 once a week, fill up your tank, and then you've got the remaining money for the rest of the week for your whatevers.
I can't do that because I would spend whatever money I had left on either Monday or Tuesday. I would have no money by Wednesday.
That's why Casey, his wife, only gives him $20 a day.
I'm impulsive with my buying habits.
Wow. Okay.
I would find something. Every day I see something that I say, I'd love to have that, but it's $84.
What? Name one thing yesterday you saw that you would have purchased for $84.
All right. So I'm pressed on that one. I don't know if I saw anything yesterday, but a couple days ago, I was in the tennis place, and they had a tennis racket that I would like to have. And
you have one?
I have two, but this is a newer, better one. I mean, there's never a day I don't see something and go, I wish I had that. And then if I had all that money, I would have it, and I'd have no money. Much like Marco Polo.
What if you have to get a haircut that week or something?
That's on a charge. That can be charged.
Oh.
Well, Casey, I think your advice is great.
It is solid advice, Casey.
Because honestly, to stop every single day, even every other day to get gas, it's a pain. Just fill her up.
It's not so bad. It's, you know, it's all right. It's not the worst thing in the world.
No, I guess that's
it would be easier. I would love to have a day to feel what that's like, to just look at the gas tank and go, look at that. It's as full can be. I don't know what that would feel like.
When was the last time you completely filled up your tank?
It's never happened once. Ever. I've never done it.
I just don't get you more and more. I've known you so many years.
But you do know, you've seen me where I see something and I go, oh, if I had enough money for that, I would own that. I see that that happens every day.
But here's the thing. It's not like it's, you know, a Tesla or something. It's something that's, you know, $50 to $100 sometimes. You do have that money to get that. I'm a bad influence on you.
Terrible influence. Right. Bad influence. A quick break.
Fill her up.
And then more show. It's Marco Polo and Wendy on WGN.
Marco.
Why is that game called Polo, by the way? Why is that game called Marco Polo? And when he used to play it, did he just go, me? Like when he was in the pool, would he just yell out
me? Right.
It was a quick game.
Boy, that brings back memories of playing in the pool.
Yeah.
Oh, really? What kind of games?
I liked how dangerous that game could potentially be.
Well, because you can run into the wall.
You'd always bump your head on the side of the pool, always.
Yeah, but somebody's supposed to be looking out. Isn't there a lookout?
No, in Marco Polo, there is no lookout, no.
I was nice when I played it, and I'd be like, look out!
You would?
Yeah. You don't want people to run into the wall.
No, but it's inevitable.
So one story says that while traveling to China, Marco actually got separated from his family and responded with Polo, as they called for him with
that's not
Marco.
True.
That can't be true.
Is it from The Onion?
There's no way that's true.
I just Googled it.
There's actually a great series on Netflix, Marco Polo.
Oh, is there? Yeah.
It's two seasons. Talks about him with, like, I think it was Genghis Khan and all of that.
Yeah.
What did he discover?
Well, I think he was with his father or stepfather on a trade mission, and the father did something hinky, and so Marco Polo was left with Genghis Khan, the hordes, as sort of a prisoner or hostage.
Oh.
I mean, according to this series.
His
I don't
dad
know.
Left him?
It was part of the punishment of the deal, or I don't, you know, I'm not a scholar on this.
Imagine having a life that's filled with elements like that, and yet today most people would know him as the guy that pool game is named after, despite
that's sad.
Having an incredible life. Yeah.
Although it would be cool to have a game named after you. That's
would
more
be,
exciting
that would
to
be
me.
Pretty cool. But he's on a short list. Like in your life, there's only a couple of people who could say that something's been named after them, like Arnold Palmer. There's a drink named after him, or Shirley Temple has a drink named after
them. Right, so people who were famous on their own accord,
right.
And then get something else famous.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like a drink named after me. I want something named
like
after
Shirley
me.
Shirley Temple.
Right, yeah. Shirley Temple. Yeah, I said that one.
Playing the part of Steve today.
I'm sorry, by the way, yesterday.
No. What? No, for me?
Yes.
Don't be, because sometimes I'm doing other things.
I know.
And then I think I got to just stop.
No, and
in.
Listen, we love when you chime in, and I know you're super busy up there. We had Dr. John Duffy on, and we were talking about the Dixon school shooting and how I watched this great special on WGN-TV about the 30th anniversary of the Lori Dan shootings, which we're going to be talking to Phil Andrew, who was one of the victims. I think we're going to talk to him next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we had just mentioned that, and Steve was busy gathering news and getting his newscast together, and we were really short on time because we had to hit the White Sox exactly at 11, and Bertrand just went, well, like, this is the 30th anniversary of the Lori Dan shootings. And I know I was snippy, but we all looked at each other, John Duffy, Bill, John, and I all looked at each other, and I'm like, I got to say something because the listener's going, you just said that.
Well, it was the second time in a week I've done it. There was another one. But John's reaction was the best. He goes, well, that's right, Steve.
Very positive.
He's nice.
Minded.
He's
very,
very
positive.
Nice. I'm not nice, but I'm really sorry for that because then when I looked up to apologize to you, you were gone.
I was so angry.
That's what we thought.
No, I felt badly about it because it sounds so stupid. But
and Steve, didn't Marco Polo also have an incident with Genghis Khan at some point? I'm trying to remember.
I don't recall that.
No? Yeah. I thought there was some incident. No. All right. We'll take a quick break, then some news, and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I wonder if Proven Winners have any sugar magnolias that I can plant.
If only there was someone we could ask.
It's funny you mention that. Horticulturist for Proven Winners, Color Choice Shrubs. Her name is Stacy Hervella. And Stacy, how are you today?
I'm doing great, but I hate to be the bearer of bad news. And no magnolias, much less sugar magnolias.
You're crushing Wendy. You're crushing her.
Sorry, Wendy.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I love a good magnolia tree, but boy, they are messy.
Yeah, and now's a good time to definitely bring up that little liability because those petals are falling everywhere. Some people compare them to banana peels, especially after a rain. But, you know, they're so early and so easy to care for and so magnificent that I think, especially if you're a gardener, you're willing to forgive them that little liability.
I received my Invincible hydrangeas yesterday, and I will be planting them in the garden. They're beautiful. They're so healthy and wonderful. It came with a catalog. You can get Proven Winners at your better garden centers, and you can go to provenwinners.com to find out where your closest location is. We are giving away a prize package. You can register at WGNradio.com, and that will be that Invincible hydrangea package, correct?
That's right. It'll be Invincible Wee White, which is a dwarf Annabelle-type hydrangea, but with strong stems, and it's reblooming. Invincible Limetta, which is a green version, and then Invincible Mini Mauvette, which is a purple kind of flowered version. And I tell you, these are hot, hot plants. They are in demand, and you can probably find them at your local garden center, but, you know, people are starting to hear about them, and they really are, you know, truly innovative and beautiful plants. So they are going to go fast. So this is a good opportunity.
And those are going in my back wildflower garden. And then on the side of the house is Full Sun, and I'm really loving the butterfly bush. What can you tell us about that?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked because I did want to, you know, I get questions from gardeners all over the country. And, you know, right now I'm hearing from a lot of gardeners in the Midwest, and I'm in Michigan, so I totally hear you, about their butterfly bush. And they're saying, do I cut it back now? What do I do? And so I want to, first of all, say, if you have a butterfly bush already in your garden and you're wondering what you should do, do not cut it back until it starts to show signs of new growth. So I know you're looking at a pile of sticks and you're thinking, oh my gosh, everything else in my yard is leafing out and looking fantastic. What is wrong with my butterfly bush? Did it die? And the answer is most likely probably not. They are naturally quite late to emerge in spring. And if you cut them back too soon thinking like, oh, this is just a pile of sticks and it's not coming back, you could actually be removing wood where the plant is going to come back. And, you know, even though it's getting late in the season, when a butterfly bush starts coming back, even this late, it just comes roaring back. And, you know, you should have fabulous flowers in like within a month.
Are they fragrant or am I imagining things?
You are definitely not imagining things. Butterfly bushes are very fragrant, and that's one of the reasons that butterflies and hummingbirds are so attracted to them. They're very, very high in nectar, and that's what you smell, that sweet, delicious honey smell. And they're super colorful. And, you know, obviously they attract butterflies, and that's a great reason. And anyone who's ever grown a butterfly bush knows that they are just an absolute magnet in the garden. They bloom pretty much nonstop all summer. So in terms of like picking a plant that's never really going to be out of flower from basically June through pretty much October, you really can't beat a butterfly bush.
And various colors as well, correct?
Oh my gosh, there's so many colors. You know, we have selected a lot for colors. My favorite and one of our best sellers is one called Miss Molly. And that is almost a red. It's such a deep, dark pink that it's nearly red. There's really nothing like it, and it is absolutely fabulous. And it's got a nice size, too. So some of the old-fashioned butterfly bushes are really, really tall. I like to call them second-story plants because if you don't prune them properly, they're going to be blooming 10 feet up in the air, and you can only enjoy them on your second story if you have one. Whereas the plants like Miss Molly, Miss Ruby, those are going to be about 4 to 5 feet. So that really puts the flowers right at your eye level where you can actually enjoy enjoy them.
You can go to provenwinners.com and look around. They also have a catalog that you can get, which gives you some great ideas, beautiful color schemes. Because and that's what you should do, is basically pick the colors that you enjoy. There's no rhyme or reason. It's your canvas to paint with, basically, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'm so glad you said that, because so many people are so afraid to make a decision. Oh my gosh, what if I make the wrong decision? And, you know, it's like, you know what colors you like to wear for clothes. You know what colors you like to have in your house. It's the same kind of thing. Fall in love with a plant and just go ahead and plant it. You know, we do our best to give everybody the information that they need to pick the right plants. And that's another great reason to shop at your local garden center, because you know that anything you fall in love with is going to be handpicked to thrive in your area. So, you know, you'll know that it will do well and that you'll be able to continue to enjoy those blooms year after year.
My mom used to plant geraniums on the side of the house, and every year it was a red geranium, and then next would be a white petunia, then a red geranium, a white petunia. It would be like
very uniform.
But that's how things used to be, and now that looks
terrible.
Anything
goes now, Wendy.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's definitely an old-fashioned approach. And I would say that, you know, with Pinterest and certainly with a Proven Winners website and Facebook and everything, gardening pages like our Proven Winners Color Choice Facebook page, you know, we try to post a lot of information. Gardening has come a long way since our mothers, you know, were planting those red geraniums, and my mom did the same thing. So I totally hear you on that. But, you know, people really need to, I think, start looking at gardening as a way to have fun and express yourself in the same way that, you know, going clothes shopping is.
It really is like that. I don't have a green thumb for plants in the house because I forget to water them. So I have a lot of silk plants in the house. But outside...
Uh-huh. You water those, Wendy, you shouldn't.
No.
Do
I don't.
Waste
Although
your water on the silk
I
plants.
Actually have to bring them out in the yard and hose them down because they
Do
get
you?
Very dusty,
oh, all right.
And that's a great way to clean them. But outside, I'm not that afraid to try, because if something doesn't look good somewhere, I kind of move it around. Is that a good thing to do?
Yeah, you know, I think we like to say that nothing's really, you know, aside from like a big old oak tree or something like that, very little in the garden is set in stone. You know, I'm a professional horticulturist. I've been doing this for like 20 years, and I have to say, first of all, I also do not grow a lot of houseplants because I don't have great light and I also forget to water them, but I don't think it reflects badly on my ability to grow plants. But yeah, when it comes to the garden, you know, I'm constantly experimenting. I'm always like, oh, you know what? I bet that plant would look better next to that thing over there. And I'll just pop it out and move it. And, you know, people are so afraid, I think, of you know, making those kinds of decisions, or they think they don't have the authority or the knowledge. And that's really not the case at all. It's much simpler, I think, than people make it out to be.
It really is. Stacy Hervella is her name. If you have a question about gardening, she'd be the one to ask. 312-981-7200. Stacy has been a horticulturist with Proven Winners for quite some time. We're talking about a butterfly bush. If you have questions, I'd like you also to register to win a hydrangea, Invincible Hydrangea package from Proven Winners. You can go to WGNradio.com. We have Stacy Hervella on the air with us. She is a horticulturist for Proven Winners Color Choice Shrubs. You can go to provenwinners.com, also on Twitter at proven_winners. And someone just hung up. I was looking at what it said. Someone had a question, Stacy, about a river birch that they were planting. Mm-hmm. I can just say my neighbors just planted a new one because one of theirs died. Is there any special thing that a river birch needs? Because, boy, they're cool and tall and beautiful.
They are beautiful. And, you know, one of the reasons they've become really popular is because the old white birch that, you know, everyone loves, they're beautiful. They really don't love, like, an urban environment. They don't like air pollution. They don't like hot temperatures. So the river birch was kind of introduced as a way to get some of that similar look in a much easier going plant. They actually will grow in wet soil. So if you have a really difficult, you know, place where you know, you can't get anything else to grow, a river birch is a great idea. But I would only say, you know, if you're looking for one and you go to the garden center, make sure you're picking out a plant that you like, because sometimes you'll find a single-stemmed one, sometimes you'll find a multi-stemmed one, and whatever you buy, that's what you get. That's not going to change. But yeah, they are great plants and very versatile and really, really lovely.
Stacey, I have a question for you. I don't notice a lot about flowers, but I did notice this. One of my neighbors has a tree that through most of the year looks just like a regular tree, but every year in May and into June, you get these bluish purple flowers all over the tree. What is that?
bluish purple flowers. Are you talking about a lilac or?
No, I think they're. I'm not positive, but they're too small to be lilacs. They're like
An individual flower.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What would that be?
Well, it's. I'm sorry, Bill, but it's a little hard to tell from your description. I'll tell you.
No, that's
what.
All right.
If you tweet me a photo, I'll definitely get. I can do that. Yeah, for sure. I can.
All right.
Or, you know, email me a photo. We can.
I'm not on Twitter. Do you take MySpace? Can I MySpace you a picture?
you know, you mentioned the river birch. I purchased a tree at a garden center 2 years ago, but it was in the fall. So all the foliage had already fallen off. And of course, mm-hmm. they guarantee it if they plant it. But what I looked for was a perfect shape. And that's right. What you're looking for when you have it's a fringe tree and it made it through the winter. And it's a very I wish it would grow a little quicker, but it looks like these white little bottle brushes are on it. It's the coolest thing ever. So,
and the fragrance on those is amazing.
Yes.
It is one of my absolute favorite fragrant plants. They are fantastic.
The fringe tree. Keep that in mind. Someone says, I have a hydrangea that I planted, and it is on the southwest corner of our garage. It has never bloomed. What do I do?
Oh, right. Okay, so it sounds like that's a big leaf hydrangea, and the big leaf hydrangeas, remember, have their flowers on them all through winter. So that means they can't be cut back in fall, winter, or spring. That also means that they can be, you know, subjected to damage through winter, whether it's really cold winter or spring frost. Now, so far, we haven't had any spring frost to take out the flowers. But so, you know, basically what's happening is that those buds are somehow either being removed or killed by the weather. And usually what that indicates to me is that that's not a great spot for that hydrangea. Now is a fantastic time to move it, maybe someplace that's a little bit more protected, and hopefully you should start seeing flowers. You know, we talk about hydrangeas all the time. It's kind of our specialty, and there's a lot to talk about. You know, I mean, I could fill you guys an entire hour talking about hydrangeas. So since we can't do that, I would just say go to the Proven Winners website, provenwinners.com, and search hydrangeas demystified. And that's an information sheet we put together to just kind of spell out some of these hydrangea basics so that you can be successful with
them.
So
can I ask one?
Steve has a question.
Steve Bertrand,
Stacey.
In our newsroom.
I have a couple of unruly hydrangeas that we want to divide up and move. Are you saying this is a good time to try to do that?
It is a good time to move just about anything, including hydrangeas. Now, as far as dividing goes, that's going to depend on the type of hydrangea. You know, typically shrubs, woody plants like a hydrangea, don't do well being divided. But there are some exceptions. So like the Annabelle-type hydrangea, that one can be divided. But, you know, usually the big leaf hydrangeas with a big, you know, pink, purple, or blue flowers, those don't do so well. But, you know, certainly if they're too big to move, you can try it. You'll get one portion at least that should survive.
All right. Someone wants to jump in. Not to step on your toes, Stacey, but Carl from Jefferson Park said, hey, Bill, perhaps that neighbor's tree you're referencing is a redbud tree on the purplish side or a blue Chinese wisteria on the blue side. Could that be?
I have pondered both of those, Wendy, and he may be onto something. There's a chance of either or both of those being true. I don't know what kind of tree it is. I just know that I see it every year in May or June, and there's all these bluish purple flowers. It's stunning.
Is it like a gangly, like crooked branch?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
So that could be a red bud, though.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, so the red buds are here in Michigan are blooming like crazy right now. They're definitely more on the purple side. And the thing about the red buds is they don't really have leaves on them when they bloom. So you just get that really strong color display because there's no green, you know, up, you know, in between the flowers.
Oh.
The wisterias bloom for about a week if you're lucky. You know, they're fabulous, but they are very quick to bloom. So if you're seeing the flowers over a long period of time,
yeah,
I doubt it would be a wisteria.
All right. I will take some pictures. I'll get you some pictures.
Okay, yeah, please do, right. And I'll definitely get you an answer.
All right.
And very quickly, a selfish question. I have beautiful Annabelle hydrangeas in the front of my house, and I have been a very bad girl because I leave the dead flowers in the winter, and I have not cut them off yet, and it has bloomed. I haven't ruined them, right? I can get in there deadhead them.
Not.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yep. Now's a great time to just go ahead. You know, any flowers that are clinging to it, just snip them right off. No big deal.
Perfect. It's a pleasure to talk to you. She's Stacey Hervella. Really, if you want some information, if you're into gardening like so many people are, you can just go to provenwinners.com, and they have so many articles. She mentioned the hydrangeas demystified, if there are any questions you may have. And also, please go to WGNradio.com. You can register to win the 3-pack of Invincible hydrangeas. Again, those colors, Stacey?
White, green and what we're calling mauvette, which is kind of a purpley pink. It's pretty fabulous.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Yep. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Happy growing.
Happy growing.
I don't know if that's what you're saying.
No, you say what you said. Happy growing. A quick break, some news, and then American English will be joining us. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy and WGN.
I thought they were going to play along, and they kind of started to.
Oh.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And, Bill, we just had a little sound check with American English right now, and you are smiling ear to ear.
That was the best sound check I've ever heard in my life. That sound check was Hall of Fame.
Thanks, mate.
American English is here. Honestly, one of the finest Beatles tributes band you'd ever want to see, tribute bands you'd ever want to see. They're performing in Highwood tomorrow night at 7:30 start. 210 Live, the number 210live.com, has all your ticket information. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You look like the Beatles. You sound like the Beatles. I got to be honest, you smell a little like the Beatles.
Yeah, well, that's right. I know he does.
I didn't wash me socks this morning.
I told you. We were talking guitars a little bit, and I don't know. I want to show off. Is that a Hofner bass?
Yes.
Authentic. Oops.
Made in Germany, just like Paul's. In fact, it's just like Paul's.
Perfect.
And you're playing left-handed?
Yes, just like Paul's.
Are you left-handed normally?
All the time.
Oh, okay. All right.
Was that a requirement to be in American English? You had to be a left-handed bass player?
Well, it was just, it worked out great. I finally got a job. You know?
That was all he could do.
He had perfect hair as well.
Oh, yes, that's perfect. Yes. That's Eric Michaels, who plays Paul in the show. Jim Miserere, you play John. Do you have a girlfriend that doesn't like the other three guys?
not yet, but we're working on it. No.
Jim Irizarry, how do you say it?
That's right. You nailed it,
Irizarry.
Right?
Yeah, yes. Irizarry?
Irizarry, Irizarry.
I'll just call you John Lennon.
Either one works, you see.
As long as you don't call him.
Late for dinner. Yeah. A joke that works in all countries, Wendy. The craziest thing. Tom Gable is Ringo Starr. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Tom, I would say of the four, you look most like the Beetle you portray in the show. Is that
really
fair, do you think?
I mean, put up.
You think so?
Like,
I do. All four look like the Beetle they portray, but especially Ringo.
Well, it's Ringo's me. It's me nose, you know.
It's your nose.
They've made a fortune on that nose in the last few years. Yeah.
You know, Ringo is doing very well for himself. He really is.
He looks great as well.
He really looks fantastic.
And he's been knighted, so, you know. I
mean, oh.
My stock just went up because of that, I can tell you.
The first time there's ever been a Sir Ringo, ever, in any way.
Ever.
And we don't want to leave George Harrison out. No way. James Paul Lynch plays George. Hi, James.
Hello, how are you?
Nice to see you.
You know, I probably shouldn't say this, but I have had arguments with various people in my lifetime about Rolling Stones or Beatles.
I'm one of those people, by the way.
Yes, because you always say Beatles, and I always say Rolling Stones. But then when it's pointed out to me, the catalog of songs that the Beatles had in such a short amount of time pushes them over the top.
Absolutely. Oh, right. And the quality of the work. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Stones are fantastic,
yeah,
but they never took it to the levels that the Beatles took. And they would admit that, I think.
Yeah, they would admit that.
How about Beatles versus Proclaimers? Which band do you think is better?
It would walk 500 miles.
Yep. Well, in a boxing ring?
Or? Yeah, in a boxing ring. That'd be close.
I can only imagine that as a musician, usually the first group that inspires someone, the Beatles. Yes. All of you in that boat?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Yes. Raised on the records, I was. Yes.
Yeah. I had many fights with my brother. He was a Stones fan.
He was a Stones fan?
So, yeah. I got bloody nose ones.
Oh, boy.
I got
it came
bloody
to
nose ones from me.
Oh, brother. No.
Yeah. It was about not fade away, but I'm not playing that, brother.
All right. So 210 Live is a venue, and it's in Highwood. I'm looking for the exact address here.
I can help you out with that. It's 210 Green Bay Road in Highwood. That show starts at 7:30 tomorrow.
And this is a series of music that's going on all summer long. Is this what's happening at 210 Live?
Yep.
I'm sorry. I don't know.
It's a secret. You're not allowed to know.
Okay, I won't tell anybody that.
You're not allowed to hear.
All right, Bill. American English will be performing there tomorrow night, Friday night. How long have you guys been together in this carnation?
Getting close to what? At least 10 years? I've been with you for six now. The band's been around a long time. I mean, the name American English is...
We rest a few guys, you know, that we... Then we rest them, you know.
Once they make their fortune, they decide to retire.
They're gone.
That's what it is, huh?
Yeah. I've been doing it 23 years, so I'll say that.
Wow, that's very impressive.
That's good for you. Is there a special Beatles attire shop that you get your suits and outfits at? Or are they made for you?
Some of them are made. Some of the, you know, the Sergeant Pepper suits are made. Definitely, you know, I mean, you're not going to find that in the shop.
But. Yes, but the accents we have to buy at the Beatles store, you know, especially.
Ringo's been working early this couple.
Hi, Ringo.
You'll pay the most money.
All right, these microphones are not picking things up when you talk.
That's a little better.
Not really. There's
so early in the show. You do it chronologically. I'm guessing the early show, the early part of the show. You wear the early Beatles stuff, and then progresses as the show goes on.
We start with the black suits, and then we move into the Sgt. Pepper psychedelic, and then we go to the Abbey Road.
Oh, nice.
That's killer. All right. Well, since we don't need to talk, we need to hear. As we mentioned, the sound check you did it brought a tear to my eyes, and I wanted to sing along. So I will make sure to turn my microphone off. But no. I don't want to ruin it.
Can we just scream like they did at Shea Stadium all through your song? Is that okay? All right, we'll do that.
Your skirt is too short, though.
No,
Will.
It's not. It's just right. That's not nice.
American English is the band. You can go to AmericanEnglish.com. That's the website, correct?
Yes.
Social media, correct me if I'm wrong, at American English Tribute on Facebook.
Correct.
And American ENG Band on Twitter.
Twitter.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Perfect. Close. What song are you going to start with?
From Me to You.
From Us to You, then.
Beautiful.
That's you.
1, 2, 3.
Da 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 dum dum da. Da 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 dum dum da. If there's anything that you want, if there's anything I can do, just call on me and I'll send it along with love from me to you. I got everything that you want. Like a heart that's oh so true. So call on me and I'll send it along with love from me to you. I got arms that long to hold you and keep you by my side. I got lips that long to kiss you and keep you satisfied. Ooh, if there's anything that you want, if there's anything I can do, just call on me and I'll send it along with love from me to you, to you, to you, to you. Thank you.
That's awesome.
So
American
good.
English.
Oh, so good.
I just, what is the longest Beatles song? Is it
Hey Jude,
I guess.
But most of their songs clock in just under three, right?
That's right.
Especially, two and a half.
Yeah.
Three. Maybe the psychedelic period, they got a little bit longer. Three and a half.
So what's behind that? Was the record label telling them a shorter song is better?
Well, more money they could make if you had... You know, many singles, you know, like 14, 15 singles on an album, and then you make more money if you wrote them.
Yeah.
Or if you played on them.
Right.
So, you know, the musicians,
they were smart guys.
Yep. Say, hey, that's what we're going to do.
Yep.
We'll put 1,000 on it.
All right, well, for some reason, talking doesn't work in these microphones, but when it's playing, it works. So let's take a quick break, and we'll come back. American English, the whole month of May, things have been going on at 210 Live in Highwood. And is there a website? Yes, 210live.com, 210live.com. We'll be back with more American English. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. All right, if you want some good food and drink and music, 210 Live is the North Shore's premier live entertainment and dining destination. It was originally built as a bowling alley, the first in Lake County, and they will be the venue for American English. You can go to AmericanEnglish.com to find out their full schedule. I saw you guys play at a bunch of fests last year. You're big on the fest circuit, correct?
Absolutely. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
There's something about being outside and listening to Beatles music that brings it home. It's awesome.
It works nicely.
It's all about the fans. I mean, it's almost like the Beach Boys or any of those great bands. We do this because we're fanatics just like they are. So it's this whole love thing, and they give it back to us and we give it to them. It's a great summer.
And it's a family show, you know.
Yeah.
Everyone loves the music.
All ages.
Yes,
all ages.
What do you like the most, when you see a little kid in front of you dancing or an 87-year-old grandma who's dancing?
We saw a little girl, she was doing the worm across the stage, you know, and she was inspired us.
That's beautiful. They know all the lyrics, you know. If I forget, I just look at them.
Have any of you seen the Beatles or any of the Beatles perform live? And part two of the question is, have you ever met any of them?
I met Ringo.
Did you? What was that like?
12 years ago, we were backstage for some reason or another. I can't remember. A friend of ours had backstage passes for the equipment and stuff when we got back there. So
was he with his all-star band?
He was with the all-star band, and we got to meet him. And
I hope he was nice.
He was great.
You told him that you portray him in a show?
I didn't
mention
that.
No?
I'm like, what does it matter? I was so excited that I got to meet him. I just like, you know. But he did sign. All I had to sign was a blank check.
And then you put the amount in.
And he signed Ringo Starr on a blank check of mine. And I just, you know, and he says, well, and then he looked, he says, well, I can tell you something. This check isn't worth bloody hell.
So I wonder how that would go if you said, I portray you. I mean, obviously the Beatles are aware of it and they have to approve this.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, yeah, there's like 700 Beatle bands in the whole world. Yeah. I think, so they know it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's because, you know, we're handing their music down to, you know, younger people.
So absolutely.
That means that their families will continue to be thriving.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
So that's a good thing.
Do you have a favorite Beatles song, each and every one of you? Because it's pretty hard.
Yes, we do.
You do?
But it changes every month, you see, because we get a little bit tired of it.
Do you get tired of them?
I think my favorite one right now is Ticket to Ride.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you're going to do?
No.
No. Oh. Well, whatever you want to do, we are here for you if you can get in one, probably two more since they're very quick.
Okay.
Unless you're doing Hey Jude or Let It Be.
Well, we didn't bring the piano, but we will do this.
Can we bring one in?
Give us a cat, Ringo. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4.
Help! I need somebody. Help! Not just anybody. Help! You know I need someone. Help! When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I changed my mind, I've opened up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find I changed my mind, I've opened up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling down. And I do appreciate you being round. Help me get my feet back on the ground. Won't you please, please help me? Me,
help
me.
You really don't get sick of doing it. How can you get sick of any of these songs? And there's no way you guys can ever forget the words. Do you ever get like a mental block?
It does happen. It's 95 degrees and you've got a full suit on and everyone else is in shorts. Sometimes you can, but most of the time we get it right.
And at that point, you look at the audience and you watch their mouths and then you'll remember what the word is. And that has happened.
We've got our own teleprompters, you see. Yes.
In the show, you guys have a guy, Ken, who plays George Martin. What exactly does he do during the show?
Well, manages.
Kenny, he's kind of like the secret weapon.
Yeah.
He allows us to play all the later music, the psychedelic stuff, all the orchestras, the cellos, the trumpets, the pianos, tambourines, maracas. He's playing all of that while we're playing these songs.
Oh.
And, you know, that is what brought the band up to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
Being able to do that. And the guy is just a genius at it. I mean, he could play anything, you know.
Good.
And he constructs all his own sounds. You know, he makes all those sounds himself. So he's really proud of that.
And you guys capture the essence of the Beatles entirely. I mean, if you listen to the record and then come see you guys live, it's going to sound pretty much exactly the same.
We try. Thank you very much.
We shoot for that.
Yes.
It's working.
lucky in that it's modern day, so we've got a little bit better technology than they had. So, of course, we're not them.
Well,
they are amazing, but we do our best, and I think we get pretty close, and the fans always seem to have a good time, and so do we.
Always. There will never be another Beatles, will there?
I don't
nobody
think
could
so.
Ever do what That'll they did.
Happen. That was magic.
It's impossible.
Absolute magic.
And do you think if George and John were around that there would be a Beatles reunion of sorts?
I think they would.
I think eventually they would have done it, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who thought the Who would ever get back together? Jeff Lynne back with ELO. It's just, definitely, although Led Zeppelin, still waiting on that one.
Yeah, that would be cool.
American English, one of the best Beatles tribute bands around. Lightning has struck twice, first with the Beatles and now again with American English. Who said that?
Sam Leach.
Mm. Sam
Leach. Sam Leach. He booked the Beatles.
Beatles first manager.
And he's got a book called, what was it called?
The Birth of the Beatles.
Birth of the Beatles. And he's also, you know, he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in Liverpool. He was number first choice person.
Really?
Yeah, first person before the Beatles.
All right, we are just having terrible technical difficulties. I'll be perfectly honest with you. We are moving studios over to a new location, and all the good equipment evidently is over there. So we're doing our best here, and if we just stop touching the switches, perhaps we could do one more song, Static Free and American English Live in Action tomorrow night, 210 Live. That's over in Highwood, and 210live.com is the website. You can also go to AmericanEnglish.com, which I'm on right now. You have so many gigs all throughout the summer, so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And listeners, if you go see them, there will be no scratching or hissing or cracking. And again, we're doing our best here. But this is American English. And how about one more song?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a real nowhere man, sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me? Nowhere man, please listen, you don't know what you're missing. Nowhere man, the world is at your command. Have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like you and me?
I'll take it, John.
Nowhere man, don't worry, take your time, don't hurry, leave it all till somebody else lends you a hand. Doesn't
he's a real nowhere man,
sitting in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody. Making all his nowhere plans for nobody.
Come on, Wendy, sing along.
Making all his nowhere plans for nobody.
American English, there are
Beautiful.
People out on
Beautiful.
The street singing along. What do you think about that? Was that great?
Everyone's happy.
Beatles fans everywhere.
There are, and you watch everybody sing along. If you don't see them sing along, don't you think there's something wrong with them?
Yes, of course we do.
Or they might be those Rolling Stone fans. Right.
Thank you so much for coming up. Once again, Jim Irizarry.
Yes.
As John Lennon. Irizarry. That's what I want to say. Eric Michaels as Paul. James Paul Lynch as George. And Tom Gable as Ringo Starr. Peace and love. Thank you so much. AmericanEnglish.com.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely sound amazing. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's Dean.
We believe he is Dean. Dean, are you Dean? Uh-oh.
Damn, Dean.
Uh-oh.
Dean.
There he is. See?
We found Dean. Dean, we were worried about you.
I just wanted to add to your technical woes.
Oh, my God. I could stick my foot up your butt.
I told you to only talk to me that way privately.
Is this really related to something on the show, Wendy, or just a separate
dream of yours? You know, we try as we may to sound good and not have technical difficulties.
It happens.
And it was my fault that I didn't check, so everybody's looking at me like it's my fault. Is Dean there? I'm like, I don't know.
Mm. You're in a different studio now, right? Did you move?
No, not yet.
Three more weeks.
You'd think we were.
No, I mean, I thought you said you were going to move to a different studio because you were having some...
No, we are moving to a new studio. That's why all the equipment is at the new place already.
I've heard about, yes.
I mean, seriously.
Here's what I thought. I plugged in and I was listening to the end of the Beatles interview and performance, which sounded great.
Well, thanks.
And I mean, all this static. I was like for half an hour working on my equipment to see. I thought something was wrong on my end.
Don't they have a pill for that?
Dean. Doctor, I seem to have a foot up my butt.
I recognize that foot. That's Midday Personality Wendy Snyder's.
Wait a minute. That's Wendy's shoe.
How did this happen? Dean, may I ask you a show business? No, you know show business, right?
So we're all in show business.
We're all in show business to some extent. What's going on with this TV series, Lethal Weapon? Do you know what's going on behind the scenes there?
Well, here's what I know about the story. It got renewed.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's good because a lot of big shows did not. Brooklyn Nine-Nine got canceled on Fox, and then the next day picked up on
NBC.
NBC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Tim Allen Last Man Standing, which got canceled on ABC about a year ago, got picked up on Fox now. But Kevin James' show got canceled. Lots of, no!
Yeah.
Kevin can wait.
Kevin apparently has plenty of time to wait. Now.
And they brought Leah Remini back in it.
Yeah,
but their belief is they said that it made audience members angry that they did this.
Well, they did kill off his wife, and it was weird because why didn't they just? It's like too different, but too much the same. It was kind of funky.
Yeah, didn't seem like a good idea to me either.
But boy, I love their chemistry.
Bring them back. So anyway, this Lethal Weapon show, among the shows that got renewed this week, Damon Wayans was renewed along with the show. But the other guy on the show, and I have to look up his name here because I don't even remember.
The guy who plays the Mel Gibson character.
He's the Mel Gibson, the new Mel Gibson guy on the show, did not get renewed on the show. And for a couple of days, it was a bit of a mystery of why he did not get renewed. And then stories began to come out, most notably from Dan Wayans himself on Twitter, saying how difficult he was to work with, how maniacal he was.
Hmm.
He just seemed like, according to all the descriptions, a really strange dude. They let him direct an episode that Damon Wayans said put him in personal danger. In fact, during one of the scenes where there was an explosion, Damon Wayans was actually hit with a piece of shrapnel.
Wow.
I don't know if 100% you can blame that on the director, that something like that happened, but there was no love lost between Damon Wayans and his co-star
Clayne Crawford,
and it's your Gesundheit.
Yeah, thank you.
Also,
Clayne Crawford. He did play the role, and he's been replaced by Sean William Peter Michael Scott,
Stifler.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
I'm always happy to see Stifler in anything. I like him as an actor. He's a super nice guy. Also,
yeah.
Damon Wayans went after him on Twitter and has since deleted everything that he has said about him, but made no bones about that. He's glad the guy's gone. He didn't like working with him.
Wow.
He was a nightmare to work with on set, you know, basically behind the scenes at WGN.
Yeah, same thing.
Pretty much the same thing.
Wow. Well, I'm glad the show got renewed, and what a crazy way to end your relationship on a show like this.
You know, I guess it's like any workplace where there's...
Bill got hit by shrapnel yesterday.
Yesterday and the day before yesterday.
Is that right?
Yeah, uh-huh. A lot.
Bertrand?
It's mostly Steve Bertrand,
What's happening to The Mick? I love that show with Caitlin Olson, and that was dumped, and somebody needs to pick it up, or I will. I don't know how
you're
to do
pick
it,
up
but
a show?
I would like to air it.
That one I do not have any details about. What was the deal with all of that? I'm just trying to think
just
of some of the other highlights of things that were renewed and not renewed. I've been in New York the last couple of days, I haven't been completely up on my cancellations and renewals.
Well, can I ask you this then, Dean? We've gotten so many texts about this. The Royal Wedding is being broadcast on Saturday. People want to know if you will be live tweeting it. Will you be?
I will not.
Oh.
I'll be...
attending?
Usually during the, I'm just trying to think of the wedding. Usually I'm at the Jewel.
During the royal weddings, you go to the Jewel?
You only shop what?
I only shop once every when a royal gets married. I stock up freezer.
They changed the name of the store to the Crown Jewel during those episodes, yeah, don't they?
I think I told you guys that I'm not that interested.
I'm not either.
You guys.
I'm more interested in following Meghan Markle's dad and what he does. I hope he live streams something. I'll watch that.
Yeah, this is starting to get like Jimmy Carter's family.
Yeah. You're right.
It's like Billy Carter?
Yeah, where like the people start coming out of the woodwork.
Or Roger Clinton, wasn't he? Kind of like that too?
Yeah.
There's always a black sheep.
Yeah.
Maybe it's me and my family. I don't know.
I wish them well. I hope they have a lovely life together. I don't fault anybody who is. I don't say it's bad, but I'm just not especially interested in.
But this makes it more interesting, Dean. The fact that her family and her Meghan Markle seem to be at odds, that throws it an interesting twist. I love that.
It's like any other family.
Yeah.
Any other wedding.
Yep.
You know, you're sitting at the rehearsal dinner, and somebody gets drunk. And he goes, "I don't even like you."
Boy, I want to go to one of your family weddings. I'd have fun there.
Lord, you don't want to. Careful what you wish for.
I want to just say the WGN TV promo that they're running on television is awesome, and Dean is featured prominently in it.
What is it?
It's just everybody doing fun things, out and about in the city, and there's some live action footage of Dean covering something, and Joe Donlin, and everybody. It's all fake. You all looked happy, so great actors
We are good actors.
So convincing when you see it.
For the most part, we are. I was talking about this on Cochrane show this morning. Yesterday we did just the everybody on the morning show, we did a volunteer day. We went to the Saint Stanislaus School, which is right off of the Kennedy Expressway, right around Armitage. There's a gorgeous church there, and there's a full school. And we arranged with them to do a volunteer day where everyone in front of the camera and behind the camera, writers, engineers, everybody who wanted to volunteer came out, and we weeded their garden and planted stuff and painted, and
that's very nice.
Generally helped them do some busy work.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it to pat us on the back. I'm saying it for a couple of reasons. Number one, we had a ball just as a group because, we all have different schedules and obligations and things. It's very rare when we can all be in one, everybody can be in one place at one time. So it was really fun that way. But when we left there, it sounds corny. We had the nicest feeling of accomplishment that we had done something nice for somebody. And it makes you want to keep paying that forward.
Yep.
And, volunteer, do things, help people. There are so many problems that can be solved. If people just lend their hand, stretch their hand out and help their neighbor a little bit, help somebody else out a little bit. And we learned that firsthand yesterday. I thought it was a little odd when Larry Potash, instead of pitching in and working with us, had his servants from his home come and do it.
That defeats the purpose.
That was a little odd. But, the work.
The rest of it was
the
nice.
The work got done nonetheless. But, it's a volunteer day.
Right.
We're all down in the dirt weeding and painting. And Larry's got his servants, to say, "Hey, you missed the spot."
Was he getting a pedicure live on the scene?
Getting a pedicure.
That's going to write it all, Dean.
Portable foot tub.
And we don't want to see Larry's feet.
Nobody wants to see that. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break, and then Dean has some movies to share with you.
Anybody's feet.
Nobody does. More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Dean Richards joins us. Dean plays the role of Dean Richards on the WGN TV Morning News, and you can hear him here. No, I think you're very convincing. Very convincing.
Not a convincing Dean Richards at all. What's with the shaggy hair?
What's with the shaggy hair? Dean, Deadpool 2, a sequel, I believe, to Deadpool.
Very much.
I loved it.
I think you're going to love this one as well. The only thing to me that was missing in this one was that element of surprise when you went in to see this movie, Deadpool, and saw how completely irreverent it was and how they broke every rule of superhero and mutant movies. And, when you finally realized, this is going to be a very different experience, and how R-rated it was.
Yeah.
This movie is much the same way. So you don't have that. I mean, you're sort of expecting to be shocked by Ryan Reynolds in this movie. And, you know, he delivers what he delivered in the first movie. It's very sarcastic. It's very irreverent. It's self-effacing. There is just nothing but a complete irreverence. It's extremely violent.
Hmm.
You know, it's not a movie for kids. It's definitely rated R, and it definitely earns that R rating. But your kids are going to say, why can't I go see it? We went to see Avengers. This is nothing like Avengers. This is, you know, there's superhero fighting in this movie, but there are some extremely graphic and somewhat fairly sexual things that are happening. There's a lot of language. There's a lot of F-bombs in the movies, in the movie. So, you know, be aware of that going into it. It's almost as if the plot of this movie doesn't matter at all. It's almost just like a...
Is that good or bad?
I didn't mind. I mean, the plot is okay, where the Deadpool character is trying to protect a young kid who he doesn't especially like very much. It's part of the irreverence of it all. It's a young kid from a foster home who was being physically abused in the foster home, but he doesn't like kids anyway. You know, it's part of the irreverence of the character. I don't like kids. You know, I just want to get out of here. At some point, he realizes that he has to help to save this kid who is turning evil with the villain in the movie, who is will be a familiar villain to you from this, because it's the same actor who plays Thanos in Avengers Infinity War, the bad guy in that movie. It's James Brolin.
Josh Brolin.
Yeah. Josh Brolin.
I'd like to see James play.
I'd like to see James Brolin's wife in the movie. The wonderful Barbara Streisand.
Oh, yeah. She'd
I'm
be
like,
great.
Who's that?
I thought you knew that.
I forgot. Yeah.
And I realized that probably not everyone does.
So Thanos' mother-in-law is Barbara Streisand.
That's right.
How about that?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You want to talk about evil in the world. So anyway, I mean, it's good guy, bad guy, you know, back and forth. He puts together a team, his own team. He feels like he's got to have, you know, like you can't fight crime without having your own superhero team. So he puts together sort of this mishmash of the superheroes. You know, they go on to try to fight the bad guy. There's like open mocking of Avengers in this movie.
Oh, good.
There is nonstop breaking the fourth wall. Ryan Reynolds simply turning to the camera and to the audience and making a joke about something. There's something in the trailer. So I'll give it away just because it's been in the trailer where he's fighting someone and goes, wow, you're dark. You must be from the DC universe. Which I think is
very funny.
Hilarious in the movie. So anyway, I liked it a lot. And I gave it a Dean's List B+.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Excellent. Tell us about Book Club.
Book Club is, I'm calling this AARP meets Sex and the City.
Ah.
It's, you know, four ladies who are probably 70 years and older. Diane Keaton, Jane Fonda, Candace Bergen, and Mary Steenburgen.
Wait, Dean, I just realized the first rule of Book Club is you don't talk about Book Club.
Well, I don't know what that means.
He's referring to Fight Club.
Oh.
It was a pun. It was a pun. It's fun working with Bill Leff. Sometimes you can get into his head. Sometimes you can't.
I'm going to leave the door closed so nobody else can get
in
there.
Let me out.
I love the Easter eggs that Bill dropped.
I broke the fourth wall.
I love
with a jackhammer.
Literally, he broke the fourth wall in the studio. That's broke why it. We have to move now because of Bill. So these four ladies in their book club decide to read 50 Shades of Grey, the original 50 Shades of Grey that, shall we say, unleashes some things that have been dormant in these ladies for quite some time.
Nice.
So, you know, it's, you know, like the Pandora's box has been open on these. There's just no other way to
Old Faithful.
Yeah. As it's a...
I got more Fight Club jokes if you need them.
Maybe you should.
Clearly I do.
All right.
Clearly I do.
All right.
I thought the movie was fine. I thought it was a little cliche, and I am not going to say that I did not like the movie. I'm just going to say I am not the target audience for this movie. I know that there are going to be other people who will go to see this movie and like it 10 times more than I did. I thought it was fine. And
a likable group of women.
And it's a likable, very talented group of women. You know, it's nice with all these superhero movies that are out. There's, you know, just nothing but Avengers and Black Panthers and Deadpools. Here comes a little romantic comedy that, you know, might be a little corny for me, might be a little cliche for me, but, you know, a fun girls' night out. This could be a, you know, a very workable movie. So I gave it a C+.
Beautiful.
You're on your own otherwise with that. Also, and let's see you work one of your Fight Club jokes into this one.
All right.
There's the documentary Pope Francis, A Man of His Word.
Yes.
That's also opening this weekend. A very well-done documentary on the man.
Il Papa.
His mission. His mission, how people react to him, the whole phenomena that is Pope Francis.
I'd like to see that, actually. I got to be honest.
And Josh Brolin is the villain in this.
It's his third movie.
Oh, man.
In which he plays the villain, yep. And Brad Pitt is in the Fight Club.
Oh.
Cameo.
All right.
Stay for the credits. Oh, stay for the credits for Deadpool, by the way. There's some really cool things that happen during the credits. In Deadpool.
Thank you for that heads up.
I wanted to mention
Dean,
that.
Thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Have a great weekend, you guys.
It's Dean Richards, everybody. We'll find out what Steve has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.